Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
Chris isn't here this morning, so he asked me to speak in his stead, which is a great honor, and I'm happy to be up here in front of you. I did ask him, I told him, you know, if history is anything, I won't speak very long, and is that okay? And he said he's never had anybody complain about the service ending soon or earlier than normal, so that might be the case today. We'll see. I wanted to start with a little prayer, mostly because the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and I could come up here and say all the things that he's been putting on my heart, and if it's not in your heart because he's teaching it to you, then it won't stick anyways, and it's all just a waste of time. So let's just receive his Spirit and expect him to talk to us. Father, thank you for this time. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and fill us anew. I ask that you would speak to our hearts and our minds, and you would make clear the deep mysteries that you have. Teach us new things about you and the Father and Jesus. Bless us today. Bless me with the words that you would have me say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, to start off, I'm not going to say what I'm going to speak about yet, but I wanted to start with some basic truths, because truths are really, really good. They're the things that set you free. They're the things that you can use for comfort. They're the things that can change your mind. So there are two truths I want you to think about first before we get into it. The first is that God is good. He's good. He's never not good. That's right. He's good all the time. And if there's anything going on in your life and you say, oh, man, is God good? He's good. It's not the question. You can ask, how is he being good in this? But he's always good. The second one is that he loves you. He really, really loves you. And it's not a obligatory type of love because he created you. He didn't send Jesus because, boy, all those humans really messed it up, and I guess I have to do something. It was his plan. He really, really, really loves you, and he has good, good things for you, and he's always thinking about you, and he's always planning for your future. He's got you in his mind always. He loves you. Okay. Now I'm going to read a verse, and now you'll understand why I did that. This is Hebrews 12:7. It says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? This is a hard topic because it deals with our suffering. It deals with the things that happen in life that go all the way from making us uncomfortable to really, really breaking our heart. And in those moments, if we don't know those first two things that I mentioned, that God is good and that he really, really loves you, then it's nearly impossible to get through that. So, but I find a lot of encouragement in there. So I came across this epiphany a couple years ago because I had been trying to wrap my mind around some of the things we go through. Like I can pick out a couple different directions that hardship and suffering is going to come to us, and it's going to come to all of us. One is that God is going to push you along in the path that he has for you because it's your time. For instance, right now, I'm uncomfortable. This is a bit of suffering being in front of you. Not that I don't want to do it, but it's uncomfortable for me, right? But this is what he has for me. And so I had to say yes to him, and he's moving me into it, and it's good. But it's a little suffering. It's a little discipline, right? The second I thought was, well, you know, the enemy. The enemy is against us, and he is always coming against us, and he's, I don't understand how all of this works, really, like in the spiritual realm, but the way I understand is that the enemy asked permission to test us, and that would bring suffering to us. And the spiritual realm and how that works, what a grand mystery it is. But I think that that's one of the ways that we have hardship come into our lives. We have the very world in which we are born into sin. We have the will of the people that are around us who don't always treat us well. We have our own sin that doesn't treat us well. We have relationships that get broken because of things that are done. And, boy, is that just humans? Is that the enemy manipulating humans? Is it? I had, like, all these thoughts. And so, like, when I'm in the middle of something really hard, I used to try and think, well, what is going on? Because I need to know how to address this, right? Should I be standing up against the enemy? Should I be repenting? Should I don't know. But that verse says, endure hardship, the whole thing, all those different categories, as discipline. So now instead of me having to decide, where is it coming from? How do I address this? What do I do? All in the middle of it. I can just say, this is the Father's discipline. Even if it wasn't directly from him in his design, even if it's because it's somebody else's sin, he is so big and so powerful, guys, that he takes everything that goes on in our lives and he turns it for good, right? So I can just look at it and say, well, this is the Father's discipline. Now, that word, discipline, I think has been ruined for some. I think sometimes we think discipline in the regime of punishment. Like, I did something bad, and now I'm going to endure discipline to pay for it, to pay my debt, right? But this isn't that discipline. That's not God's way. We don't get what we deserve, people. We don't. So it's not a matter, I mean, our sin needs to be dealt with, but he deals with it. This is amazing. He calls us to repentance through his kindness. It's not through a heavy hand of punishment that he calls us to repentance. He disciplines us gently. And it's not for the purpose of you paying for what you've done and for you to set things right. It's for the purpose of bringing you into who you are called to be. All of these things will be used by him to bring you up into a place that is his calling and his design. We're all on different paths. So you wouldn't be able to look at any two people and say, well, this person has progressed through steps A, B, and C, but this person's only on B. The Father doesn't. He moves us around in different ways. It's really exciting. But we all have a path that he is walking us on, and he reveals himself. Our infinite God reveals pieces of who he is through discipline. Maybe you're not convinced. With regards to discipline and punishment, maybe you still think that, well, I mean, this is clearly my fault, and I should be punished. And I should endure this punishment, though you may be saying to yourself, discipline. So I have a couple examples, and I'll end with a really strong argument. One is, I'm thinking back to when I was growing up. When I was young, we didn't have, the only heat we had in our house was a wood stove. So, and I was really young when this started, so every summer we would gather wood, and we would chop wood, and we would stack wood, and it was all really hard work. And when I was young, I had d- different responsibilities than as I grew up. But through every step of that, from the, hey, Jason, take these cut pieces of wood, take one, and go put it on that stack. That was work. That was hard. You could even say it was discipline. It was leading me into something. It was teaching me something about myself and what I was capable of. It was teaching me about hard work that is sometimes required and how to endure it when I don't get to do what I just want to do, right? So it moved from there to when I was older to, all right, now these are big logs. These are at the bottom of the hill. Grab one of these things and huck it up the hill because we got to split it up there. And now take that axe and split these logs. And we're going to stack all these up so we got wood for the winter. I didn't do anything wrong. This was good discipline, right? This wasn't a punishment. I hadn't mouthed off to my mother or done something like that, and they sent me out into the backyard. Although that could happen on occasion. But it's not a payment, right? It's not a payment. It's a, you are in your own thing here, and you need to remember the discipline of hard work. Not a punishment, a discipline. I think about it for my own kids. When they do something wrong, we discipline them. But it's never an extraction of worth. It's never, you cost me something, and now you will pay it back. Right? It even says, although I don't have the verse queued up, and this is my strong, strong argument, that Jesus was disciplined, and through it, he learned obedience. Now, what exactly did Jesus do wrong to deserve discipline? He didn't do anything wrong, right? This is just a fact of life. This is how we are brought into who we are. It is what the good Father does in us. There are... I was talking about this with my wife, and I know that there are some of you that have endured really, really hard things. And it's heartbreaking stuff. And I know that, and I don't want to make light of that at all. But the Father is good, and he loves you. I remember there was a time when my wife was sick, and it had come on kind of suddenly, and there were reasons for us to think that it was really, really bad. And we prayed about it. It was later at night, and we prayed about it. Should we go to the emergency room? I don't know. And we both felt like we weren't supposed to go to the emergency room, but that night was really hard for me. I think she slept great. It's interesting how different things affect our hearts differently. Like everybody has spots where it hurts more in different ways. But I spent that whole night, the only way I could go to sleep was I said what I said this morning. I said, Father, you love me and you're good. And I would feel fear again. You love me and you're good. And you love Stephanie and you're good. And I had to repeat that the whole time until I finally fell asleep. And then next morning we went to... not the emergency room, but just the clinic. And I said, you got a fever, you're sick. Here you go. It was nothing. Right? It was nothing. But that was a trial for me. That was discipline on my heart to remember how good he is, even at the risk of what I feared, like my wife dying. I really did feel that. I mean, you may think that it sounds ridiculous in this moment, but I really felt that way. He's good. When my second child, Jaron, was born, we had to go to the hospital early. We go in at like 6 weeks before his due date, and then, you know, so 6 weeks before he's due, Stephanie starts having complications, and it has to do with her heart. Jaron's okay, but if he were born at 6 weeks premature, it would be rough. That's pretty premature. And so we stayed in the hospital, and at 5 weeks premature, Stephanie was really getting into the cardiac failure category. Her heart was not working the way it needed to. The stress of the baby on her was beginning to be too much. And she felt like she was going to die. She couldn't breathe very well. They ended up doing a C-section and taking Jaron at 5 weeks early. And because he just fits the category. He's a white male at altitude, 5 weeks early, and he had to go spend 3 weeks in the NICU. He was all, you know, oxygen, everything going into him, keeping him alive, because he wouldn't have survived on his own. That seems like a much harder time. Actually, for me, it wasn't. That time was hard, but it was nothing compared to that one night. Stephanie would call that night really, or that time really, really hard. She would count that in one of her top areas of trials and suffering and having to go through that. But for me, it wasn't as hard. I didn't know what was happening. The father didn't tell me that Stephanie was going to live, or that Jaron was going to make it, or any of those things. He never said those things to me. But I knew in my heart that he was good. And even if those things happened, he was good. And our story progresses so far beyond what we know right now. This is just the beginning, just the very front of it. We can't imagine the things he has for us. Those are some of my stories. I wanted to give you some practical things. I like when practical things are given out. So here's some practical things that I think are good. One, if you are in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a hardship, it is really important to engage that hardship. We can hide away sometimes and really miss the opportunity. In fact, they're towards the bottom of that verse, if I can find it real quickly. Okay, so this is in Hebrews 12:11. That's farther down as he talks about how discipline is good and the Father is good, and if he loves you, then he disciplines you. And it says in verse 11, it says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." I think it requires something of us. I think in the middle of that, you have to be willing to be trained by the discipline. And it's a matter of giving yourself over to the Father in those times. It's not, what am I supposed to learn through this so I can get this thing over? That's trying to circumvent the discipline. That's trying to make it through quicker than what it's supposed to be. It's, this is where I am, and the Father is good and he's loving me here, how can I tuck in with him more? How can I really get everything out of this time? And when it is done, and the Father knows that timing. It's not up to us to decide it, and we shouldn't try to. We also shouldn't try to ignore it and imagine that it's not happening. We should run to him, and we should receive his comfort. Like I said, he's always, always, always planning for you and looking out for you. Jesus is always, always, always interceding for you that you would get what you need. The Holy Spirit is always, always here to comfort you. This is where we get all of that goodness. This is where we're supposed to run to. The second place that we can receive encouragement is from the people that are around us. If you find yourself lonely and without friends in the middle of one of these times, it is really, really, really lonely. So I encourage you to make good friends before these happen. Find people that are that you look up to, people that can pastor you, not in the sense of running a service like this, but somebody that can really speak into your life and is there and knows where you have been up to this point. And then when the hardship happens, you can talk to them about it and you can receive perspective from them, and they can remind you that God is good and he loves you. And they can talk to you about it. I think one of the dangers is if you don't have that, then sometimes we like to commiserate with people that are in the same thing we are. If you're in the middle of a horrendous relationship break and you find other people that are in that same type of thing happening, you guys will commiserate and you will not say God is good and he loves you, but how horrible everybody else is and we are the only two that are good. Yeah? So find people that can speak into your life. It's good for us all the time, and it's really good in those times. Yeah, I think that's it. I wanted to pray with people. I think we don't have as many people here as we always do, but there's enough people here that probably there's a few of you that are really feeling it. You know, it's really hard right now for whatever reason. Don't dismiss the things that are hard because you think they will be silly for other people to hear it. We live in a first world nation, and a lot of the things that we find hard, people in other nations would not find hard. But that doesn't mean that it's not hard. It's where our hearts are, and the Father is just disciplining us. If you're thinking in that way of this isn't as hard as something else, then it's putting a value on the hardness. It's saying this is more than this, and that goes right in line with punishment. I should suffer more or less. And if you look around at other people and you say they haven't suffered as much as I have, then you're putting a value on your suffering, their suffering, and you're diminishing what they've gone through. We are all in the middle of it, and the Father is very good to do exactly what we need. Personally, he's a personal God. This is what we keep saying. He's about you. He knows what your heart needs. Your heart is different than everybody else's. So, Todd, if you want to do a little guitar work, that would be great. And if anybody, well, let's just spend a little time praying first. And while Todd plays, I'm just going to sit down. I want everybody just to ask the Father about where they're at and maybe identify some of these. And then if you're in one of those spots in a little bit, I'll come back up and we'll have people pray for you.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.